It's funny, in the break, Day-Day said, I think I heard Nick Saban say he had a collective when he started at Alabama. And so Mike and I were discussing his soundbite. We'll let you hear it again here. But then we came to the uniformity, that opinion, that is, of Saban's talking in front of Congress today about before he got out of coaching, when NIL kind of got rolling.
In other words, 21. Yes. The summer of 21 is when it first became legal to get endorsements, just like, you know, Stetson Bennett got his deals with Cane's Chicken and all that stuff.
And how it's escalated, the numbers. Right. So let's hear this again, because when you hear it, it's a little misleading, because he says when we started, he's not talking about his first year at Alabama. Here it is.
Let me give you the history. My first year we had collective at Alabama, $2.7 million. Next year, $7 million. Next year, $10 million. I retired. Next year, $17 million. Next year, $24 million. Now you have schools that have close to $40 million rosters. So if we continue to do that, we're going to lose Olympic sports. We're going to lose non-revenue sports. We're going to lose scholarships. And basically what's going to happen is you're going to have football and basketball succeed, and we'll have club sports for everything else.
Yeah, so he's talking about the 21. So, in other words, that was the article I was referring to, that Alabama didn't really have a great collective compared to Indiana or Michigan or Ohio State. And, you know, in the case, and even now, it doesn't rank as one of the more, that's why I just have a hard time that they could work this clandestine payoff system to get the great athletes, and then all of a sudden now it's legal and they can't put it together. But, and you've been at a great point with Michigan, though. They gave Harbaugh a 10-year show cause, but he's never coming back to college.
It's a joke.
He's in the NFL and that's it. And they lost, I think, 25%. It was a percentage of scholarships and a fine. But again, it was at the end of the day,
because
something that was clearly cheating.
It was.
It was a slap on the wrist from the NCAA.
And part of this is they're not going to kill Alabama either. And that's the whole gist of this, right? It's we want enforcement, but we don't want death penalties, and we don't want to overstep in the sense that it's going to hurt the sport, because the reality is the sport is thriving. And if you're just joining us, I just simply said, look, Nick Saban and being in front of Congress, he may be the right guy. I do think we need a framework, okay, across the board that – you can enforce the rules fairly for everybody. And right now you got state rules, Mike. You got conference rules. And this is why the NIL, he's talking about teams spending more than others. There's no formal, formal rules in place across the board. I think we need that. But I also think it's somewhat hypocritical, because I said this and then Blake hit me up and said, Dukes, Saban didn't retire because it was going to be too hard to adjust NIL or the transfer portal. He left because coaches can no longer build culture through hard work and recruiting and coaching. What's Kirby doing?
Well, Kirby's trying, but last time I checked, Georgia hasn't won a natty in 3 years or gotten out of the Sugar Bowl in the last two. And now the recruiting class is 16th. So you could argue that, you know, all the great players now, there was a concentration of the best players, and they know to go to the NFL if they went to an Alabama, an Ohio State, a Georgia, a Texas, you know, back in the day, a USC. And now everybody's got a shot because everybody's got their money out, and that's where Indiana, and again, that was a unique situation. Half of James Madison transferred to Bloomington. But to my point that I was trying to make is, I just don't think that a school, if it was doing it, they can do it in a vacuum. That somebody, just like we had that stuff that came out of the SEC coaches meetings in Destin, where you got Ole Miss basically saying, oh, you think we're dirty? It's like, you know, I mean, now LSU, it's like a whole other country in Louisiana,
no,
if we're honest.
It is.
And there's always been a different set of rules out there. But it's hard for me to believe that if somebody was operating at that level, that nobody else is going to rat them out, other than your argument that the NCAA is going to stick their head in the sand because it's bad for business.
I would tell you this, and I've heard this from coaches over the years. Mike, the Indiana story couldn't have happened 25 years ago.
No. It's an impossibility.
Because you know why? The big schools would have said something. There's no way they can be doing what they're doing unless they're doing something
that's
illegal.
That's what got SMU. SMU was not a powerhouse in the Southwestern Conference for years.
And guess what? If you're up here and they're down here, I don't need those folks down here to be up here with us. And when that happens, Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze, remember the number one recruiting class? Everybody lost their mind.
Hugh actually had an 800 number so you could report if you knew something. Remember, he took all of Grayson that year.
Kim Dichi, all those kids. Day-Day, you remember? All those kids. And everybody's like, how the hell is Hugh Freeze? We don't need them to be up here. And everybody freaked out. I'm just telling you, and I don't have a problem with it, but let's be real. And if you're an Alabama fan and you're offended by the idea, I'm not telling you Nick Saban didn't work hard. Anybody that's been around him will tell you that. I've been around people who've been around Nick Saban. He is everything that you would want in a coach. But the other side of that is Getting players, there's always been an art to it. It's more than just telling mom and dad that you're going to get an education.
No, no. I mean, as I said, I'll stick with my guns on this. I do think that Saban built up a program. He's a great coach. He builds things up from the ground up with great assistance. You know, he went through so many coaches and maintained a high level. I mean, it's not like Dabo all of a sudden. I know, again, so you're telling me that basically Dabo, they started passing the hat in Death Valley? I mean, he wouldn't even take transfers. I mean, so that's why I just think there are other issues with Dabo
and why the program has, regressed.
Well, again, he got behind the eight ball on the transfer portal, but then he also built something organically, and made a success. And again, when South is when he lost his elite coaches and he never replaces better coaches and recruiters.
The mechanism. This is what I'm talking about. Why was Saban able to go to LSU when Alabama was still very Alabama and win a championship?
Yeah, but you're going through a litany of mediocre coaches after Bear Bryant. I mean, I got to be honest.
But that's my point, Mike. That's the mechanism. This is what I'm saying.
But I don't think that Nick Saban comes to the list. Oh, by the way, I need a slush fund of $5 million to get my players. I can't truck with that. I don't buy that. Maybe he didn't use that language. Call me naive. I can't believe in a world of the SEC where we've been at the SEC meetings where Philip Fulmer got served with papers. Okay, so I mean, somebody's going to keep their mouth shut and somebody's not going to rat out on somebody operating at that level.
It depends on how much you're like, Mike. It depends on how well you're received. It depends on what your value is. See, we see this differently because I've just had too many conversations with people who have said these things and I go, there's no way. And in fact, there is a way. Again, I'm not simply pointing my finger at Nick Saban and telling you this. All I'm saying is it's been this way across the board, and now it's legal, and everybody's doing it.
Now, I will agree that Nick Saban, over the years, if he doesn't have something or he doesn't like something, he's going to use his platform to tell you about it until he adjusts and pivots and then gets it going. So refute your argument is, if he was so good at paying players, when it came time to paying players, he wasn't that good at it because they slipped.
Yeah, so, he got the wrong guys. He'd tell you that. He would say that. He's actually said it on national TV when they talk about NIL and paying players, and he always says, it'll get you in trouble if you pay the wrong guys.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's from experience.
They slipped because they always had quarterbacks for 1 or 2 years that fit what he needed, and then Jalen Milroe and things started to slip. You know, and that's kind of, I just of the opinion nobody could pull. If you're telling me that everybody is doing this and it's the wild, wild west, and the NCAA says, oh, I can't get involved because it's like handing out speeding tickets in the Indy 500. I just can't imagine in the SEC specifically that someone's not going to drop a dime on you if you're cheating.
Mike, you don't think anybody in the Big Ten wants to drop a dime on Ohio State?
Well, everybody's looking at getting Michigan, and look what happened. Their great reward was a slap on the wrist, and Harbaugh's off to the NFL.
I'm just telling you, everybody in the Big Ten hates Ohio State, okay? Right. Everybody. Ohio State gets everybody just like Alabama, from the Midwest to the Northeast. Now they're going out west. You're telling me that's not the case?
We had a guy suspended at Ohio State for tattoos. Free tattoos.
That was back in the day.
We had Maurice Claret. I mean, that was, you want to talk about too big to fail. They went after Ohio State on the cusp of a national championship. That's why I don't agree with Alabama's too big to fail.
But nothing happened. Ohio State's still here. They're still winning national championships. It hasn't hurt their program. But at that time, they
lost it with Tressel, never got back. They never got back to that level.
Until they hired the mechanism.
Well, then Urban Meyer comes in.
Correct.
Now, we can talk all day about Urban Meyer. Now, again, another guy, talking about a target on his back. How come he never got, no one ever dropped a dime on him until he has a dirty dancing episode in the bar? But that's not about guys paying players.
No, but actually, look what he did at Florida prior to, the Ohio State. Everybody knew. That's my thing. Everybody wants to ignore it because if it's not your team,
No, I don't think everybody knew that Florida was paying players. Everybody knew that he was looking the other way for all the jerks that they brought into Gainesville, and he let them get away with murder, literally, in the case of Aaron Hernandez.
No, he did, but he had very talented roster.
And Rainey let guys push coaches around? That's why he's a hypocrite. He preaches discipline, but meanwhile, the inmates run the asylum in his program.
Well, but he did
but
it
that's
there.
But it's still not paying players. You can't prove he paid
players.
So
now you're going to say Urban Meyer didn't do this?
I got to have proof, man. I did.
Hey. I'm confused. I'm serious. So you don't think... Are you saying you don't believe?
If I'm going to say something on the radio, I got to have some degree of proof. I mean, I got to have an opinion on something. Oh, that
okay,
team's
so
dirty.
No, you don't have to have proof because people get on the radio every day and they don't have a single proof.
I mean, look, Skip Bayless has been lying through his teeth for years. Maybe I should start.
So are you
maybe
saying
I should
you're
start
just
lying.
Wearing? No, I'm just.
No, I don't
are you
know,
wearing
just,
a blinder?
No,
to
I'm just
what's
saying
what's going
if,
on
no,
in college
I'm not,
sports.
I'm not wearing a blinder. Prove it. I'm saying prove it.
But who has, Mike? In 50 years, who's proven it? Well, that would be my question to you. With all the resources the NCAA has had, who's proven it?
The only time Alabama got nailed, and they did get nailed for paying, somebody paid some defensive lineman who flamed out $100,000, some crazy boosters. And I don't have the name in front of me. I think it was about 12, 15 years ago.
So that wasn't a directive from the coach?
That was, no, the way it was reported, it was like a bunch of crazy boosters that were running amok.
But see, that's
which
what
program, which you know happens as well.
But that's
and that's how SMU got because you had the boosters who kept playing it dirty.
But that's what it used to be. See, it used to be it was the boosters. Now who's dictating these payments? Who?
Well, it's the unit. You have a collective. There's a mechanism now for teams. And some teams, like, for instance, Mark Cuban put a little extra in the envelope, but they were still under the apparent limit that's so vague that they don't even know what the number is that was set by the NCAA.
No, I'm not talking about the number. I'm talking about the directive from Kirk Cignetti. Who does that come from? It comes from the coaches.
But now it's legal. You can't complain about it being illegal now.
And that's my point.
Right, so Kirk Cignetti was paying guys off at James Madison?
No, that's not what I'm saying. You're going off to the left. I'm saying that directive comes from coaches now. It used to be, the alums paid him.
Yeah, but you're telling me Nick Saban's been cheating and paying players for all the success at Alabama before it then became legal, in which case now it's legal, but now he can't get the money that he used to get off the books, and that makes no sense to me.
No, that's not what I'm saying either. Saban is and was and has been upset about the fact that the system changed and he can no longer maneuver it the way he once did. All right, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
What's the worst thing someone could do in your office kitchen? Probably microwave fish, right? Would that be up there?
It's stinky. It's stinky.
That's got to be the worst. Would you pull a gun on somebody for doing that?
What?
Stay tuned. It's coming up in Guy Talk next on Dukes and Bell.